This is Coffee Number 5. I'm your host, Lara Schmoisman.
Are you ready to get some PR? Well, sign up for free and get my template today.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Coffee Number 5. And you remember for sure this because I always tell you this. And if you don't remember, I'm going to tell you one more time. My mom always say, you have to know already. Maybe I'm not translated correctly in English, but it means that if you don't try something or you don't ask something, you have already the no. So by trying it, you might get a yes. And who cares if you say no? You just try and you learn something new. So today, I want to talk a little more about unreasonable requests. So I brought Stephanie Burns, she's speaking around unreasonable requests all around, and I love what she has to say. So welcome, Stephanie. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm really excited. Yeah.
So what's an unreasonable request? Let's start from there.
Sure. Unreasonable requests is my most favorite thing to talk about. An unreasonable request is the practice of asking for something that feels unreasonable. That feels bigger than you would ever ask for in a normal day. And just like you said, your mom says you have the no already. And I say this all the time. If we don't ask for what we want or need, we 100% have a no. If we ask, right, we've dropped that by 50%. Yeah. So just simply by making the ask, you are statistically, you know, able to get a yes more than you would before if you didn't. So getting comfortable making an unreasonable request is what I love to talk about because it's how I built my first business, is really getting kind of scrappy, asking for things that seemed absolutely crazy and getting yeses. And it's just been it started out as a fun experience and experiment really, and turned into the culture of my business.
Well, the unreasonable request depends to whom you ask too.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be an unreasonable from you where you're standing, but for someone maybe say, well, that's not so crazy.
That's exactly right. So what might be unreasonable to me may not be unreasonable to you. So it's an up-leveling, it's a personal up-leveling in, you know, stretching ourselves and getting better and, you know, asking bigger and getting more clear on what we want and being braver with our voice. But yeah, it's definitely, it's a personal thing on what feels unreasonable.
Yeah. And I was thinking a little bit, like, for example, my kids, when they were little, they asked me for so many unreasonable things. And as they grow up, they start to catch up. Well, this is maybe a little unreasonable and maybe I shouldn't ask for it. And I feel like at some point in life, because even when you go to school and you ask too many times to go to a bathroom, at some point they tell you, no, you cannot go. So you need to say, well, maybe I should wait for the recess. So I think that we are taught what is reasonable and what is not reasonable. Do you think that we're taught to just shy away from asking altogether, or just we learn about asking for little for ourselves?
I absolutely believe that we have been taught to stop asking for the things that we want, or the things that we deem to be maybe a little crazier out of the box. But, you know, if you look at people who have really truly innovated in our lifetime or generation, really, they've all been unreasonable. I mean, look at, you know, Richard Branson or Elon Musk, even like these people that have dared to think bigger and therefore ask people to believe in their crazy big ideas. I mean, that's nuts. And they just had no qualms about it. They were going to go do it. And eventually, obviously, they got yeses.
Yeah.
Because their projects are live. They're, you know.
So it's like, learn how to remove that filter, to unfilter ourselves somehow and to dare ourselves to ask.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So after a while, so my business partner and I used to ask for these crazy things, because when we first started our business, our previous business, Chic CEO, we had no money. You know, we started this business. I was on a game show. I was on the Wheel of Fortune and I won some money. And that's what I used to get Chic CEO started. Well, that went to pay for the website and all the development and everything. Well, then that money was gone. So once the website went live, it was my job. And then I brought her on. It was our job to get people to know that we existed. So we had to get super creative. And sometimes we would just ask for what we needed and we would get a yes. And after a while,
give me an example of an unreasonable request.
Absolutely. So probably the first time that both of us were like, whoa, we cannot believe that just happened, was shortly after we probably, I don't know, maybe 6 months into having the business, we decided that we wanted to host our own networking events. And the reason that we did that was because we were going to networking event after networking event after networking event. We were exhausted. We thought, okay, well, how about we host a networking event? We bring people to us and we won't be so tired anymore, right? And we can make a little money. So we decided that's what we were going to do. Well, the company's name was Chic CEO. So we knew the event had to be super chic. It had to be cool. So my business partner called up the W Hotel in downtown San Diego and said, hey, we want to hold an event in your space. And we'd like you to give a cocktail and tray pass appetizers to these women. We'll probably bring about 100 women and we'll call the media and come down. And that's what we want to do. And they were like, okay, well, you know, our food and beverage minimum is this. And Jody's like, well, yeah, we're hoping for an exchange. And they were like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah. And we were like, what? And so we held this huge event. We charged $20 at the door. The W Hotel gave, you know, it was in their lounge area, which is absolutely stunning. We called the press. They showed up. We had a nonprofit partner that we donated to. It was this massive event. And then we held them every single month at all sorts of different locations all around San Diego for the next 3 years. We expanded them into LA, Portland, and New York.
Wow.
It became a significant revenue source for us, but it was this value exchange that we had between the venue and us. And that was when we realized that maybe we could ask for things, you know, that seemed unreasonable. And asking to do that is unreasonable.
But in this case, for example, it was unreasonable for you because do you feel like you were lacking of understanding of what you can benefit the hotel as well?
And that's the key to an unreasonable request. We're not just going to show up and ask for free things, right? We're not just going to show up and say, hey, can I have a Ferrari? You know, of course, no. But when you want to make an unreasonable request, something that you feel might seem impossible or too big or crazy, showing up with value of your own to help to move that person's goal forward is absolutely the key to asking for something big and something nuts, you know, and it's a value exchange. So, you know, karmically, it feels good, right? It feels good on both sides.
So do you feel like as you were doing this, you feel like what you have to give in exchange was more worth it, or it was the same, but it made you realize, hey, I'm worth this.
So when we always strove to have a balance of value exchange. So we also started when we were growing the company, growing our email list was a very big initiative. So we would go and do email newsletter swaps. So if we went to someone and said, hey, can we do a newsletter swap with you? We'll email out to our list, you email out to yours. And if say they had 20,000 on their list and we had 5, then we'd say, hey, we'll mail out for you 4 times if you mail out for us 1. Mm-hmm. You know, trying to make that exchange value. But how often do you go to a person with a 20,000 email list and say, hey, will you email out for me? Probably never.
Yeah.
And that would be something significant to grow your business forward, to get your email list to grow. So sometimes those crazy ideas aren't so crazy if you can package them in a way that values both sides.
Well, that's called collaboration.
Yeah.
And talking about collaboration, you also were a collaborator for many magazines for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
How do you, I mean, I want to explain this to our audience today because we talk a lot about branding and PR and how to brand ourselves. Mm-hmm. And many people think that PR is a solution. It's where it's going to fix their life and automatically they're going to be picked up by big magazines because everyone is unique and everyone thinks that they're amazing. And I believe that too. But believe me, they're not going to pick you up the first time. You're going to have to build yourself. And PR in 3 months is not going to change your mind. I mean, PR retainers are expensive. You need to make sure that you have the budget for this. But there are many other ways that we can brand ourselves and get ready later on for PR and actually will help PR.
Absolutely. There's so many ways to be visible right now that have nothing to do with PR. And that is the beauty of how our industry is right now, right? With social media, with, you know, blogs, with our own websites, we can actually create our own visibility and we don't necessarily need PR. PR is a nice feather in the cap, but it's not going to make you $1 million. It's not going to fix your business overnight. You're not going to become some sort of superstar. Oprah is not going to invite you onto her show. That is not how PR works.
Even if you are trying to get PR, but like you said, it's not going to change your life overnight. But also the PR, I mean, you need to think about the return of investment. It will give you really nice authority to have PR. But believe me, what I tell you, and we talk with these publications all the time, and they tell us you are not ready because those PR magazines are going to check on you and what you did, why do you show up? So you need, like we always say, show up first and be in many places, and then you will be PR ready.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Get your social media right. Get your website completely updated. Make sure you have headshots. Make sure that you're camera ready. Make sure that you have media training. There's lots of things that are needed for PR, but it's definitely not something you should spend your money on right away. I actually consult with businesses on how to bring their PR efforts in-house because I believe that works better. If you really, really want PR, do it internally first before you spend, you know, 10 grand on a PR firm, because you really can make a lot of traction internally.
What I do in my agency is we offer a very initial PR package because it's a lot more affordable, but we do PR for other reasons. We do PR for SEO, PR to be Google able, and for other publications, or your goal always is going to be to sell something or to make money. That's where you have your business. So what you need to make sure is that that authority will work with your conversions. Not necessarily.
Right.
Like I can be in a magazine of picking up apples and who cares? That's not what I do. That's not my industry.
Yeah.
So I truly believe that there is a lot that we can do ourselves in PR, but I think it's okay if you want, you have the small budget to outsource it, but always connect it with your marketing because you never should do just PR and try to hit traditional PR. You should be doing it for SEO. You should be working with influencers. You should be branding yourself in other ways.
Yeah, I agree. I think that PR is nice, but it's a long tail effort. And it's a credibility marker. It's an authority marker. You know, I wrote for, or I contributed to Forbes for 9 years. I contribute to Entrepreneur, Lifehack, Today. And I will tell you that a PR, or what contributors and writers are looking for, is not what you're selling. Absolutely not. It's not what you're selling because our readers don't care. They don't want to be sold to. So if you're pitching, I've got a really cool story. I've done this. I've done that. We don't care because nobody cares about you. We all care about ourselves. And so we know that about our reader. And if you're not giving the reader the value that they're looking for, the nuggets that they can take and put into their own life or their own business, they're not going to read your piece. And a journalist isn't going to want to write about you because they know that their readers aren't going to read the piece. So, you know, you have to go into pitching PR with a teacher mindset, a value mindset, just like Unreasonable Request, you have to come with value. Absolutely. Every time. Otherwise, It's not going to be read. It's not going to be picked up.
Yeah, I want to clarify something. One thing is to do a PR roundup. One thing is to be in a gift list for PR. Those are very different kind of features that when you're pitching a story.
Yeah.
That's what are we talking about here?
Absolutely.
For a collaborator or someone to pick this up the story. So first of all, how did you become a collaborator? Because that's a great way to brand yourself, just to put your thoughts and as a collaborator and people to start finding you.
Yeah. So there's a lot of different publications that accept contributors. You just have to come in with a really strong angle, something that nobody else is writing about, and really just an angle that they're not filling right now, or a gap that they're not filling. So, and you need to have the credentialing behind you to support you writing about these things too. But don't forget, just because you want to become a contributor, you know, there's a lot of different places that accept contributors. There's a lot of different places that you pay to become a contributor. But there's also things like LinkedIn Pulse, Medium, you know, places that you can post your thoughts and your thought leadership pieces that have millions and millions of viewers. So, you know, if you can't get into a contributorship right away, start posting on Medium, start posting on LinkedIn, yeah. And get your thoughts out there. Just, you got to be visible.
And how, if I want to go and pitch, you know, I know that probably you're not writing anymore as a contributor now, but if I want to pitch my story to you, you know me already, how it would be the best approach I can give you for you to pick up my story, for example.
So you would come with some sort of value to the reader. You always have to remember it's about the reader. So what can you teach the reader? What can the reader learn from you? What kind of insight can you offer the reader? Because unless you're doing that, I'm not going to pick it up. Unless, you know, you've just secured a 1 million series A or something like that, it's not going to be something that a top tier journalist is going to pick up. So, you know, three ways that I grew my email list by 10,000 people last month is a good pitch, right? I know that I would love to know that. I know my readers would like to know that. But if it's just like, I started an agency and I'm doing, this is what I do.
Yeah.
You know, and I get pitches like that all the time. I have a really interesting story. Would you like to hear about my entrepreneurial success? No, honestly, no, I wouldn't. Don't care. I don't have time to care. I don't have time to research it. I don't have time to figure out questions for you. Tell me what you can teach or the value that you can provide my readers. And now I'm interested. Yeah. And that is the biggest piece of advice I can give you for pitching
stories.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And of course, you still, your story is still highlighting you, but it's not about, remember, people don't buy what you do. They buy it why you do it. So yeah. Make sure that you have the why there. And that's part of who you are and that's how people connect with you. Mm-hmm. But it's also what you can do for them. Like I always say, we need to give the givers in any email marketing that we send out, in any post that you put in Instagram, is about you for them. What you can teach them, what you, even if it's a story about you, what they can learn from that story.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's all about giving value. It's all about being seen as a person of value, because that trust, you know, carries over to your business. And then hopefully the readers want to work with you. But if you just go in as I want to talk about me and I want to sell my services, that's not PR, that's marketing. Yeah. So for PR, you really have to come in with a very newsworthy angle or something of value that you can impart on readers. And I call it the win-win-win. Right? It has to be a win for the journalist. So it has to be something that I want to write about, something that is perfect for my column. It has to be a win for you, right? You get to highlight your business. And it has to be a win for the reader. It has to be interesting. They have to learn something. They have to be entertained. So it can't just be all about you and it's a lose-lose for the reader and the journalist. It can't just be, you know, all about the reader and the business doesn't get any, you know, clout from it either. So it really has to win for all the parties.
Absolutely. So, I mean, there are so many people out there that during pandemic, we know in the last few years with the big recession, they're trying to get, they think it's easy to brand themselves because we see it all the time in TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, all these people that they're selling that I became a millionaire and over the years or overnight with my program. And how true is this?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I guess it could be true. It's in the realm of possibility. But, you know, getting out there and being visible is a ton of work. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And
it's not cheap. Let's say this. That if you try to get that visibility overnight, it's impossible to be cheap.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have to put money in ads in so many places just to get that visibility overnight.
Yeah, you do. If you can come with a value mindset, if you can stay consistent, eventually it'll pay off. I think some people just give up way too soon.
You know. Or they have expectations that it's going to be really fast and easy because, let's be honest, social media and ads are showing you that everyone is succeeding overnight, but it's not the truth necessarily. It's a story that they're selling to you.
Yeah.
So you need to be very careful in what you buy.
Yeah. I was this morning, actually, I was working out and I was watching a workout video on YouTube and it cut to an ad. And this guy was talking about, he's like, would you like to make $5,000 a month? You don't have to learn how to code. You don't have to learn how to do a website. You really don't have to learn how to do anything. You just collect money. And I was like, oh my God. Like, are you serious?
Yes. Dude?
Like, I mean, I'm sure you're cashing in on these poor people that are like, yes, I'd love to make $5,000 a month without having to do anything. Well, yeah, we all would. But, you know, you got to be really careful.
You have to be very careful. Very, very careful. Because the fact, I mean, I'm a true believer in education.
Yeah.
And I believe that what I do today didn't exist when I went to school, but I went to school for something and I learned a lot. And because I learned that, I was able to learn these new skills as they were growing. Mm-hmm. And that later on made me be able to teach those. But I believe in that formative years that you get to experience and to learn, even if later on you change. But just make going an online course or even like you were saying, yes, we can coach you to do some initial PR and do little things here and there. But that's, I mean, doing PR the right way takes a lot of work.
Yeah, and that's why you pay so much for it.
Yeah, exactly.
But you can get a lot of traction on your own. Absolutely. Local PR and those kinds of things. And I think that it's good to start locally. I think it's good to start small because then you understand what is needed. You understand how to be on camera or be on the radio or be on a podcast or, you know, give a good interview. It's a good place to start. And plus, learning how to pitch yourself is an invaluable resource and skill.
Well, is that about like unreasonable requests? It's about you requesting being somewhere.
Yeah. And, you know, I am a journalist and I have had, you know, I have never had to hire a publicist on my own. And I've been in the Wall Street Journal, Cosmo, New York Times, Fast Company, Inc., Forbes, Entrepreneur, all from my own efforts. You know, so it can be done, but it really is about pitching with the reader in mind more than it is about getting your story told.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
really
as you know, for example, I became, I just find out the most funny way ever. I was reading a magazine in the morning, reading my coffee, and I found out that I was one of the visionary CEOs for the LA Times.
Congrats!
Thank you. But I didn't expect that. And I was, I put myself out there and they chose me. And I forgot that even though I did it. And I saw actually someone else who posted it a few days before. And I got the magazine and said, oh, let's see who else got it. And I was, oh, I got it. which was fantastic. And I do most of my own PR personally. I choose where I want to be and I talk to them. We offer PR for our clients, but I like to do, I really don't have a huge ego when it comes to that, but I had to build it. I had to build it from, except to be in little podcasts. You can still try for Forbes and you can still try for Entrepreneur, but if you don't have that credibility, it's going to take a while for you to be accepted to be there.
Yep, it is. But luckily, there's so many ways
Absolutely.
To grow your own audience. And PR is not a gatekeeper anymore. There's no gatekeeper there.
No.
Like, it's just, you can literally get your message out in a million different ways right now that have nothing to do with PR. So,
The angle. It's all about you being unique at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So before we go, I just want to ask you one last question. Someone who is starting their career and they want to be this chic CEO and they want to start because apparently it's very glamorous to be a CEO. I can tell you, probably you can tell me, no, that is not. that we work way too much and we stress way too much and we do a little bit of everything. But if you want to get this on this path, what is your recommendation? Where do you start to get that visibility of your brand?
Well, I think the easiest way is to pick a social channel where you know your audience hangs out and just start creating content for them. And I'm sure you've heard that a million times, but it really is the easiest way to get started. And see what works, see what resonates, and build what your audience wants. So much we see people who are creating what's called in the computer coding world, a solution looking for a problem. And that is a very dangerous place to be. So don't ever create a business that you just think would be fun or that you think would be cool if there's not really solving a problem for somebody. And so go to the place where your people are hanging out, try to solve their problem and start to build your own visibility, start to build your own audience, and things will start to snowball from there. You'll know what to do next. But that would be my advice.
Yeah. And before you start something, check who's your competition, who is out there doing similar and how you can be different.
Yeah. And if they're selling things, then you know you're on the right path.
Yeah.
You know it's in demand. So, you know, my company, The Wild Agency, is a visibility company. And when I tell people what we do, you know, it's a little bit PR, it's a little bit SEO. It's really mostly like amplifying the personal brand of company founders.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell them the same thing you and I have talked about. PR is not the answer. Everybody thinks it is, but it's not the answer. Every single time I talk to a potential new client, they're like, yes, oh my God, I get that. Yes, you're right. We can't just sit back and wait for a PR hit.
No, absolutely not. It's all about, like I always say, and you guys know that I always say this, it's about authority and relevance. And there are many ways to get it.
Yeah.
Stephanie, thank you so much for having coffee with me. I really enjoyed this time with you. And to you guys, I will see you next week.
Find everything you need at larashmoisman.com or in the episode notes right below. Don't forget to subscribe.
It was so good to have you here today. See you next time. Catch you on the flip side. Ciao, ciao.